Last time we left the prodigal son in that far country, broken by his sin, bankrupt. He'd lost all his money. He was broke, and he's picked up a job that really, when you think about it, was the worst type of employment a Jew could imagine having, and that was tending pigs. And so as we read of him, here he is, a man who once lived in a nice home with his on his father's estate. He had all the privileges of being a son, and here he's reduced to such a low, low place. Let's pick up the story and begin reading there. It says, he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing, and he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things might be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began entreating him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I've never neglected a command of yours, and yet you've never given me a kid that I might be merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, my child, you've always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and is found. We were thinking about the son last time and how he had utterly wasted all that the father had given him. He'd squandered it. He had forfeited every right to sonship. He had no right to ever come back. His father would have been perfectly within his rights if he had said, look, you have disgraced me, you have brought my name into disrepute, you have wasted the money that I gave to you, you might have used this wisely, I labored in order to acquire that, and you have wasted it, and you're wasting your health, I want nothing to do with you, you're not my son anymore. He could have disinherited him. And yet the son, as he sat there, and he began thinking, he knew the nature of his father. And he realized, I can go back. I can go back. It's not hopeless. There is hope. I can go back. And he came to the point where he said, I'm sick of this life. I'm tired of this country. There was a time when more than anything else, this is what I wanted. Now there's nothing I would rather have than to be rid of it. I want to go back. Repentance. Repentance, you see, is a complete change of mind about your lifestyle, about what you're doing. Repentance is the alcoholic coming to a point where he says, I hate liquor. It's destroying me. Repentance is the one who is a harlot coming to the point of saying, I hate this whole thing. I don't want to do it again. Repentance is a man who swears and curses coming to the point where he says, I don't want to ever swear again. Repentance is turning away from yourself and your sin and your wickedness and wanting to go God's way. And the son came to this place. He said, I'm going to go home. Repentance is a leaving action, a turning away from sin, a leaving of sin. Faith is a coming action. It's a coming to God. And this young man had faith. He said, I'm going to go back to my father. Even though I've disgraced him, even though I don't deserve it, I believe he will accept me. I know he's a kind man. I know he's a gracious man. I know he's a loving man. I believe I can come back. And so he came really in faith. If he didn't believe that about his father, he would never have started back. He would have said, it's useless. I have ruined my life. He might have even thought the only thing to do now is to take my life. There's no reason to live. But as long as he realized my father is a loving man, a gracious man, a forgiving man, then there was hope. And he starts back. His father is marked by giving, isn't he? He's marked by respecting the free will and choice of his sons. I'm sure the father maybe thought, maybe I shouldn't give him the money. Maybe I should really put pressure on him and force him to stay here at home. Maybe even put a guard to watch him and say, you're not going to leave this home. But I think the father realized, I've got to let him make his choice. And if that's what he wants, he'll want it until he's tried it and sees there's nothing there. And difficult though it was, the father respected his free will and allowed him to go and allowed him to enter into that life of sin. And God does this to you, for us. If you want to go out and get roaring drunk, God will let you go. He won't restrain you. If you want to go out and commit sin, God will not restrain you. He wants you to come to the point where you see the nature of sin and you turn away from it and you come back to him volitionally because you choose to do this. God will not force you. And so he's a giving, respecting of a person's free will and choice. He's one who has this type of respect for his son, and our God does too. Now, it's nice to see the father waiting. I wonder if perhaps every day he didn't go to the door and stand and look and wonder. Maybe today he'll come back. Maybe today he'll come back. And one day as he stood there waiting, of course, he saw him in the distance. But I'd like to say to you that our God is a waiting God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:9. That's the picture we have of our God. God who's waiting, who loves the sinner, who longs to see him come back. He's waiting. He's waiting for you, my friend, today. He's a God who, when you come, broken by sin, will receive you back into arms of love. Oh, as the son drew near, the old man ran to meet him. He embraced him. He kissed him on the cheek, as the custom is in that part of the country, part of the world. And it was a loving welcome back. The son confesses to him. He says, I've failed. I've sinned. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm willing just to be a hired hand if you'll have me, Father, if you'll just let me come back. And the father here is filled with joy and graciously receives him back. And he said, no, you're coming back as my son. We're going to have a big feast, and we're going to celebrate, because you've come back. And there was excitement, and there was joy, and there was singing.
because the Son had come back. Oh, the joy, the Lord Jesus says, there is in heaven over one sinner that repents. The angels rejoice, and all those who have died in the Lord and are with the Lord Jesus now rejoice over one sinner that repents. Joy because of repentance. Well, it's a touching scene, isn't it? Now, there's a kind of a sad note here. The older son comes back after working out in the fields. He comes up and he says, "What's all the noise about?" He calls one of the servants and he says, "What's going on?" The other servant says, "Your youngest brother has come back and your father's all excited. We're having a big feast to celebrate his return. Isn't it great?" And the older brother says, "I'm not going in." So his dad comes out and he says, "Hey, come on in. You know, everyone's happy. Your brother's come back. And it's a time to rejoice." And the older son's real nasty about it. He says, "Look, he says, I've served you. I didn't go off and go chasing women and getting drunk and all the rest. And you haven't made any big feast for me." And he was just real ugly about the whole thing. The father says, "Listen, your son, your brother is back, and we ought to rejoice. He was lost, he's found. He was dying, and he's alive. Let's be glad, let's rejoice." Now, it's sad, I suppose, that in some cases, those who have lived more or less good lives don't appreciate their own need of salvation. This brother here certainly didn't appreciate his father or his father's grace. His relationship was completely on just a kind of a legalistic basis. I work for you, and so you have certain obligations to me, and this kind of thing. A lot of religious people like that, they think their relationship with God is simply based on their performance and their works. And I'd like to say, if that's what you're trusting, you're lost. But let me say also, it's possible for those who may know, really know the Lord, to be a little critical of those who are real sinners, bad sinners, who come to know the Lord and come into the fellowship. Are you in a church that would welcome a prostitute who was saved into your fellowship? Would you welcome an alcoholic, the town bum, if he was saved? Would you welcome him into your fellowship? What kind of an accepting, loving attitude do we have toward those who have been broken by sin and have repented and have come back to the Father? Do we rejoice with the Father and with heaven? Or do we stand with the older brother in a critical way of these who have been such sinners?